Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my beautiful listeners. I am love. I am loving. And I am lovable. And so are you. This is Jude Albright, your host, and I welcome you to Love Your Addiction. Yes, I did say love your addiction. And I know that most people certainly don't love their addictions. Rather, they fight them. They feel powerless over them, become sad at their effects, and struggle to release them. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now finally remember who you really are, and that is pure and absolute magnificence. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, who you are denying yourself and the planet? I'm here today to offer you another possibility. What if you could see addictions through different eyes, loving eyes, your eyes? Because as I said earlier, you are love, you are loving, and you are lovable. Many of us have forgotten that we are love and that we were created by a loving creator. And I'm going to call that Father, Mother, Creator, God. But there are many names for it, like Source, all that is, Supreme Being, Universe, Higher Power. Many have also forgotten that we are creators too. Why have we created addictions? Excuse me. Well, why not? Here in this third dimensional world, we've chosen to learn to experience life through polarities, like hot and cold, night and day, male and female. And I believe that we are all looking for love, mainly because of our loss of connection to our God. Often we look for this love from our families, and we don't get it, because they can't give what they don't have. And this often leaves a mark on us as kids, and we start thinking that there's something wrong with us. I promise you, I know there is no thing wrong with any of us. We are not here to tackle our feelings of inadequacy alone, by ourselves. In fact, we are all sons and daughters of a benevolent Creator, and we need each other for support. My intention is that you open your hearts wide open and accept that you are good enough, important enough, and smart enough to live the life of your dreams. And I really don't think anyone has dreamed of becoming an addict. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now remember who you really are, pure magnificence. Today's program is about my addiction is gone, how do I grieve the loss? We will be focusing on releasing loss and looking at the stages of grief. And we will be touching on denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, which are all part of the Kubler-Ross model of grieving. If you have specific questions or comments, you can write them in the chat room, Or you can call at 516-453-9371, and we will address them. That number again is 516-453-9371. We are all in this together, and I'm sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life, just like I do. So let's get each other there by changing our thoughts and our beliefs, because it's those thoughts and beliefs that are creating what's going on in our life. And the first thing that I really want to share with you is that you must recognize that grieving or grief is a process. And it isn't going to end immediately because you want it to. It is a process. And I remember myself when my oldest son died of a heart attack on the road a couple of years ago, I would all of a sudden just start crying out of the blue. People who didn't know what had happened would have looked at me and wondered, what is that crazy lady doing? What is she crying about? And it would just come upon me as I was going through my stages of grief. Now, Kubler-Ross came up with the five stages of grief, and it can be applied to every loss, and that means the loss of an addiction, which has been your best friend, your lover, even though you may not have wanted to admit it. And those stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. So let's look at the first one right now. The first one being denial. And denial is pretty self-explanatory. When I deny something, I'm not really living in reality, in the current reality. I have convinced myself that something is not right, and therefore I am denying. So what that really means is people deny the fact that they have lost something. Now, only someone who has released an addiction can really relate to that. Most family members who wanted their addicted person to get help have a hard time understanding that there really is a loss and that the recovering person needs to go through the denial stage. And it initially helps us to survive the loss. In effect, when you deny the reality that you have let go of your addiction, very often you go numb. It's very common to wonder how life can go on in this different state. You're in a state of shock. Something happened that you didn't expect to happen. The death of an addiction, the death of your best friend. Your body is saying, hey, there's only so much that I can handle right now. So, at that point, we go into denial. And once you start to live in actual reality again and not in your denial reality, very often anger pops up. And this is a common stage where we say, why the hell me? Life's not fair. You might look to blame others for the cause of your grief, and you might direct your anger to close family and friends. But remember, no one is doing this to you. The addiction that is now leaving you or has left you is not doing this to you. You, before you incarnated, on the other side, you chose the family that you wanted to be brought into this world. And if you chose an addictive family, well, then there's no blame, is there? And that means not blaming yourself. That means this anger is going to help you to come to a state of compassion for yourself, which you definitely, definitely need. So think of your anger as strength that is assisting you. As you move through the anger, you may come to the third stage, which is called bargaining. And I would like to ask you, when something bad or negative happens, have you ever caught yourself making a deal with God? Please, God, if you heal my husband and end this divorce, I'll strive to be the best wife that I can ever be. Well, this is bargaining, and bargaining is really false hope. You're so desperate to get your life back to how it was before the grieving situation that you're willing to make a major life change in an attempt to be normal again. Guilt is very common in the bargaining stage. We like to blame ourselves, and unless you literally killed somebody in a murder situation, you're not responsible for another's death. Are you responsible for letting your addiction go? Well, certainly, it's a choice. And then after the bargaining, the what ifs, the next common form of grief is depression. And depression occurs in the present moment, and it represents the emptiness that we feel. In this stage, you might withdraw from life, feel numb, live in a fog, not want to get out of bed. The world might seem too much and too overwhelming for you to face. That's okay. That is normal. That is very, very normal and very, very possible. So stop blaming yourself. And finally, the last stage of grief is acceptance. Not in the sense that it's okay that my addiction has died, but rather my addiction has died and I'm going to be okay because I'm responsible for making me okay. There will be good days and there will be bad days, and there will be good days again. In this stage, it doesn't mean that you'll never have another bad day where you are uncontrollably sad. But in this stage, you can lift from your fog and start to engage with life again. I told you in the beginning of this program how I would just start crying out of the blue when my oldest son died. I did that for well into a year after he died, until I finally reached the stage of acceptance. And acceptance really is acceptance for the situation. You don't have to be happy with it, but acceptance is compassion for yourself that you went through it. So those are the five stages of grief. Now, when we love something or someone, and something could be the addiction, we care for it or them. We do things for it. We make it comfortable. We think that we enjoy it. We think that we're having fun with it. And we are emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually attached to it. In reality, when we are in an addiction, we are not loving ourselves, because addictions hurt us emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it's our way of looking for immediate gratification. Now, there are a lot of different symptoms that happen when we're experiencing the grieving process. And the first one is crying, which I told you I did for a year. Headaches, difficulty sleeping, questioning the purpose of life, questioning your belief in God. You have feelings of detachment. You worry. You isolate from friends and family. You're frustrated. You feel guilt, fatigue, anger, and sometimes loss of appetite. Not ordinarily in that particular order, but those are some of the very common symptoms that we experience. Now, if you're experiencing the grieving process and you're having trouble letting the grief go, seek help. There are many, many forms of help. But when you're seeking help, make sure that the person that you are seeking help from understands addiction and the loss of addiction as a grieving process, because there are a lot of doctors and social workers and psychiatrists out there who really don't understand that. They may even be in their own addiction. Okay, so how do you support someone who has lost their addiction, who is in the recovery process? Well, the first thing is be present with them and listen to them. And just allow them to speak their experience. Be patient and give them that option to talk about whatever is on their mind. And accept their feelings. There is nothing wrong with being sad and pissed off because of a loss. There can be extreme sadness and there can be guilt. And many times a loved one feels responsible for bringing about
the loss of the addiction for the person that they love. When you express sympathy to that person, you're saying, I'm sorry that you're going through this. And that's much more loving than saying, I understand how you feel, because chances are you really don't understand how they feel. Even if you've lost someone to a death from drugs, the experiences are likely to have been quite different. So understanding that, you don't have to be alienating to the person that's in the grief process. Stay neutral and encourage your person to get self-care. You can help them with daily activities. You can babysit, you can prepare a meal, you can help with household chores, you can make arrangements for them. Be with that person and recognize that grief is a process. That is the most important thing that you can do for your loved one. Now, you can also go to www.beingrecovered.net, my website, and you can find suggestions that may assist you in your grief process. Know that it's okay to grieve, to be sad, to be pissed off. You're being human when you express those situations and those feelings. So have compassion. Have compassion on yourself, even if you're not at the acceptance state. And I am asking you, what if your life could be a celebration? What if you celebrated the fact that you have let go of an addiction that was hurting you? What if you gave yourself a magic wand for creating that celebration? What question could you ask and be right now that would allow you to create your life as a celebration? Those are different ways of looking at it. When I looked at the death of my son, and I actually saw the reality of the situation, I was very glad for him that he crossed over, because he led a very tormented life. As a child, he had Tourette syndrome, and he struggled with that tremendously. As a young adult, he found that pot seemed to help him in his feelings. What it really did was block out the emotional stress that he had suffered as a young child. So when I really went through the grieving process, and I began to celebrate the fact that he allowed himself to go to the other side meaning death. And in reality, we don't ever really die. We leave this dimension and we go on to other things, whatever those other things are for us. I'm going to ask you now, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? And I'm asking you also, what can you now be to create your healthy, loving lifestyle? And be the lover for the addict whom you love. And again, you can find out answers and reach me, Jude Albright, at beingrecovered.net. BEINGRECOVERED.net. We're energetic beings, and with our emotions and thoughts, and as a group, we create the things that happen on this planet. So could we all now take this opportunity to send love to all addicted people and their families on the planet who are in pain? Plus, let's include those affected by COVID-19 and those who have lost family members who have gone to the other side as a result of COVID. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. And here are some questions for you. What if you stopped validating other people's realities? What if you lost your capacity to judge and blame? What if today you became grateful for new opportunities? Do you think your life might be more joyful? Everything that you have done to make you wrong, will you now destroy and uncreate it? And please step into the love that you truly are. I send you love and a day full of aliveness and compassion for yourself. Because if you don't have compassion for yourself, you can't have it for others. And we sure need compassion right now for what's going on in this planet. Stay beautiful and have new realities with tidings of joy. Please keep your hearts open and remember that you too are a creator, creating your experiences. And you just learned how to allow the grieving process in your life. What if you knew full recovery, both as the addict and the person who loves the addict, is possible? I am sending you love, and I am saying bye for now.